So once again, the reading is Ephesians 2, verses 11 to 22. Therefore, remember that formerly you who were Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, which is done in the body by human hands, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who are near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people, and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Jesus Christ himself as the chief cornerstone. In him the whole building is joined together, and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him you two are being built together, to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Daniel. Hello, my name is Pastor Tom, one of the pastors in Bill Campus in Grace Point. If you're new, I'd just like to welcome you, and you're visiting, also like to say welcome. Hopefully you guys have so far enjoyed the service. So before I start the Before we actually start a new series on Daniel next week, we're having some trainee preachers from the Lickham and Billwood service to come to bring us the word of Daniel. People like Danny himself, he's preparing one. Also Terence and other people like our friends from Lickham. But today I'll be looking at a three-part series regarding the church. Since the topic was kicked off about a month ago with church camp, I will do some recap on that, but also for people who missed out, I'll be talking a little bit more about Ephesians 2, but I'll also add further details regarding about Billwood service and how it applies to us. So let's pray before I continue. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that we have a place to worship you, a place that we can gather and sing glories to you. I pray as we look into Ephesians, I pray that we can understand what is a church and how we can build each other up for your glory. So I'd like to pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Wars. Wars are made to divide areas, to create boundaries. On the 13th of August, 1961, the construction of a wall was commenced. And this wall was known as the Berlin Wall, which divided the east and the west of Germany. Most of us weren't born then. And the wall divided nations, separated families, relatives, and friends. But that division ended in 1989, which I found out that Adrian wasn't even born then, 8 years later. And the wall was smashed down. But there are other wars, and no different between the Berlin Wall. China is known for its Great Wall of China. And it was created to keep rabbits away. And no one's laughing. That's a dad joke. Come on. It's Father's Day. Well, it was on ad ages ago, and I thought it was pretty funny, but I guess no one laughed. Fine. I'm going to have a dad joke. It's my day today. And Chong's Day. But seriously, it was to keep his enemies away, to keep the capital safe. And this war still remains today. By saying that, even today, new wars are being made or being proposed. As we know, Trump wants to build a wall to divide America and Mexico. All these walls were all built to divide people. And you think about it. We have a fence at home. Why do we have a fence? It's to divide and separate what belongs to you and what belongs to your neighbor. But saying that, walls, whether small or large, all comes and goes. Built, destroy, and even rebuilt. But today we have read about a wall that was destroyed and never to be rebuilt. It was a wall which remains broken forever for mankind. And from today's passage, Gentiles and Jews, who used to be apart, are now united. Are all united as one community called a church. So today we'll be looking at Ephesians 2 and see what the text says about the church and what barriers need to be broken first. Secondly, we look at what needs the church. And thirdly, we investigate why, as members, we need to join a church. And finally, we look at how us as members do church. So from today's passage, some parts of the passage was covered in church camp. And that we are reminded that we ourselves are all outsiders. Unless you came from a Jewish family, where God made a promise with your great-great-great-grandfather, ancestor, Father Abraham. In verse 11 and 12, Paul tells the readers to remember that they were Gentiles, or known as an uncircumcised group. As the Jews were known as the circumcision group. And the command for the circumcision for all Jewish males were given by God to Abraham in Genesis chapter 17. Circumcision was a physical sign of the covenant, a promise with the Lord, that the Lord be with them as their people, their nations, their sons. And then Jewish had an exclusive relationship with God. So, if you're not from a Jewish background, then you were excluded. You are foreigners to the covenant given to Abraham. So this makes us all stand on the other side of the wall, unless you are a Jew. But however, Paul reminds the readers that their separation was in the past, because now they've been converted. Because of Christ's work through death on the cross, the readers are forgiven of the trespasses. And now, to focus on the spiritual blessing that they have received in chapter 1, verse 3. And one of the spiritual blessings is in today's chapter, verse 13 and 14. And we can see from these verses, Christ's blood has removed our separation from the Jews. We are now one together, with no barriers, no walls to divide one another. As Gentiles and Jews, we now have peace through Christ. And this was important in ancient times, especially for the Jews. For Jews who hanged amongst the Gentiles were seen as unclean. If Jews were eating with Gentiles, they were also seen as unclean. But this wall has been destroyed. But there's more. Most important, another barrier has been destroyed. Because Christ did not just die on the cross to get rid of the walls or boundaries between the Jews and the Gentiles, which is a great thing. But Christ died to break the walls and barriers between God and man. In verse 15, we need to understand what Jesus has done through his blood. Because of Christ's death, Christ created one humanity. Reconciling both Jews and Gentiles as one. And with that, he reconciled both of them to God, the Father. In verse 16, they're now seen as one body because of the cross. So Christ's mighty work has created a new humanity through his death. And this was always God's plan. It was only due to mankind's sins that separate us from him. So from verses 16 and 18, we are told We are all saved in the same way. We are all saved by Jesus' death on the cross. And now we have access to the Father. In verse 17, Jesus preached to them peace. And Jesus is also preaching peace to us today. So when Jesus raised from the grave, and before he was ascended to heaven, he spoke to his apostles. Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. That's in John chapter 20, verse 19 to 21. And with the gospel being preached and passed down, which is still preaching peace to our world today, people are still joining into this new humanity, becoming Christians, right now by the Holy Spirit. And for people to join, we need to continue to preach the gospel to others. And also passing the gospel down to others. Let's turn to verse 19 and 22, which is the next sermon outline. The next point. We have to build and join together as a church, as a community of believers. But before looking, what is church? First, look at what is not a church. I think that's very important. So firstly, we need to remember, joining a church is not necessary for salvation. Because does going to church make you right with God? Does going to church save you? Joining a church will not save you as more than you doing good works. More than your education, your culture, your friendship, or even your baptism by water. Secondly, a church is not a building. It's not these beautiful great walls, this roof, even the chairs. As I know, some members have been fighting for chairs, the pews in other churches. So it's not the building, whether the church meet or gathers. I know some of you guys been around long enough in Grace Point at Bellwood service to experience this, or in fact to have to deal with it. But I also know there's a lot of people that know the history of Grace Point Bellwood. In fact, in the period of time where we had to move the service 5 different locations within a span of 2 years. It was hard for the staff members and the church members. It was so stressful in those times. It also led to confusion, as people did not know what was going to happen. Are we going to have a service? But today, we are still together. In fact, the church movement helped us to grow, to depend on God in our prayers and our worries in our stressful times. So the church is not the building, but it's the people who gathers in God's name. Because there are people who believe if you enter a church building, it brings you close to God. To spend time in the silence and kneeling down in the holy place, you're able to sense peace. Able to find your inner being, or even feel that you are closer to God. You are able to spiritually connect with God. Other people believe that if you give money to the church building, then you'll be right with God. That sounds like more like blackmailing the church. And finally, the church is not the pastor. If the pastor is the church, then what happens if the pastor decides to move on? Or has an accident and is crippled? Or God has given him another direction to do gospel work? Should the church just shut down? Yes, the pastor is the leader, but we have elders, which meets up and just call the session, which includes the elders and the pastors. The session is to help run the church. And the elders have the same role as the pastors. is that elders are able to teach and care for the flock. The only difference between the pastor and the elders is the pastor gets paid for it and the elders don't. Even then, the pastors and the elders are under the chief shepherd. It's still Christ who leads the church. So we need to see that the church belongs to Jesus and we are under his headship. And this includes members, leaders, elders, and pastors. So the church is not the pastor or the elder. So what is the church in the Old Testament? Well, in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 10, the church is the assembly of God's people to hear God's word, to hear God speaking the truth to his people. In Leviticus chapter 26, church is where God dwells with his people. And we can see also the same definition of church in the New Testament as we read Ephesians. And other New Testament verses which explain what church is are like 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2, the book of Acts, and the Gospels, and where Jesus gathers the 12 disciples. So let's look at the end of chapter 2 of Ephesians, verse 19 and 22. In verse 19, it's saying, "We are no longer foreigners, strangers, and aliens, but we are God's people, fellow citizens, in fact, a member of God's household. We are no longer outside, but insiders, no longer homeless, but having a home to stay. We are no longer second-class citizens, and we have fellow citizenship in God's kingdom. Basically, we are part of God's family, a member of God's household. Both the Gentiles and the Jews came together as one body, being part of the new covenant only made possible through Christ. And in Christ, we have a new humanity. We are all God's children. We are joined together to become God's temple, which is the church. And the church stands not because of the people, but it's the work of Christ. In verse 20, the church is built on the foundation of Jesus Christ, who is the cornerstone. Together with Christ, we all form the church. Without Christ as the cornerstone, buildings will crack, buildings will fall, the roof will collapse, and the church won't last. So the church is not the pastor, not the elders or the leaders, and not about yourself. So let me say again, the church is built on Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone of the church. So a church is primarily a body of people who profess and gives evidence that they have been saved by God's grace alone, for his glory alone, through faith alone, and Christ alone. A church is basically a collection of people committed to Christ. So, why is joining a church so important? Why joining a church? I'm not sure about you, but I receive comments like the following. "I don't have an issue with Jesus, but I have an issue with the church." Or, "There's some people who believe in Jesus, but they don't think much of the church or going to church." Basically, some people have a low view of the church and being part of the community. I understand people might have these views because of the past experience. It's the people in the churches can and have let people down for many reasons. But we need to remember that Christians can still make mistakes, intentionally or not intentionally, as we still have a sinful nature. So I understand some people have a low view of church, are really upset about it. And people in society also see church as being judgmental, hypocrites, and self-righteousness. But as Christians, we need to remember, what did Jesus leave behind? What did Jesus leave behind? it was the church. And that's why we need to value it. And we need to commit to church and show the outside world what is a church and its role. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, Jesus said, I will build my church. So if Jesus is committed to the church, shouldn't we also be committed to it? Shouldn't we value it too? To glorify him? I'm going to give you a couple of reasons why joining a church is important. As members, we have to glorify him. As Christians, we need to see joining a church is really to glorify God as we worship him together. Before, during, and even after church service. The way we treat the church and the way we live our lives can bring glory to our Father. We are reminded today, we all belong to God's family. As we have been adopted by God as his children, so we are also adopted into a gathering. And this relationship that we have, to which you are to commit yourself so we can bring glory to God. So it means we can glorify God on a Sunday service, in our community group, to discuss the Word of God, to pray, to care for one another, and to do life together, and even do one-on-one discipleship together. These are all different ways where we can glorify God and worship Him. That His people can worship the Father. It's a glimpse of heaven in Revelation chapter 22, verse 1 to 5. So as Christians, we are committed to church, committed to community group together as one family, and to bring praise to God as we worship and glorify Him. As members, to expose false gospel. As we church with others, knowing and teaching others the truth of the gospel. So going to church helps us identify whether we believe any false gospel. Because it's so surprising how many people might think they are Christians and still follow traditions, cultures of the world, even work-based attitudes, thinking they're able to earn their way to heaven. So joining a church helps us commit to make the truth known to others, even to ourselves. But it's also to show the outside world we are not self-righteous people thinking we are perfect, because we are far from it and we still can make mistakes. But we've got to learn from it. As members, to edify the church, which is helping or building up others who are believers. That's in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 12. It says, so it is with you, since you have eager for gifts of the Spirit, try to excel in those that build up the church. It's everyone's building the church up, not just me or the leaders. It's everyone. And can be done in many ways. As members, to grow others, by teaching others in community group or doing one-on-one discipleship, teaching God's word on Sunday school or extreme. It's a good way to grow the children and the youth. I mean, next year, what are you thinking about? Next year already, it's pretty crazy. But Bill AM is thinking about starting a new extreme. We need people. We actually need people to start extreme for the youth in Burwood. As members, we are to encouraging each other. But what we talk about, is it really general all the time? Or do we talk about Christ-like issue? When we go to dinners, when we hang around, do we pray for each other and even being committed to the our community group? Really simple. And as members, to rebuking and disciplining each other. This is a hard one, as most people hate conflicts. But if we are to grow and love each other, we need to speak truthfully with love to our brothers and sisters in Christ who are disobeying God's word. That's the loving thing to do. And finally, as members, to serve others, to serve each other as members. We need to join a church to serve one another just as Christ did. Christ did not come to be served, but actually serve others. We are here to serve one another, help and care for each other. And here are just some areas we're able to edify the church. The last example I have today is evangelism to the world. We join a church to also show the world the church belongs to Jesus. Together we're to share the good news to the outsiders. And so we are to take the gospel to the world. We are to promote the gospel as one body. To take the gospel to those who have not yet heard of it, making it visible to the world for the lives that we live. Those not yet saved may see us and may see something of the gospel. How society see how we love each other to help to see Christ. It's like what Jesus say, "Let your shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." That's in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. And here are some reasons why Christians should join a church. So how do we play our part at church? Being a member of church. Being a member of Grace Point Burwood. Firstly, joining the church does matter. Because as citizens of God, we are being built together into God's church. Jesus is the chief cornerstone, and we are to be part of the building block of the church. So the church does matter if we confess we are believing Christians. And you know what? This is the same for community groups. We need to join and commit to community groups. It's more than one coming together to gather and learn about God's word. So your community group is a mini church in some sense. We have a role to play in our community group. It's not just your leaders and your co-leaders doing everything. The members of the community group should also be helped, also help and engage within the group. You are part of the group. You are part of that mini church. Care, encourage each other as members of the church. I remember this so clearly. I visited a church some time back. As the music was playing, people were singing. But there's only one instrument playing, and you can't miss the sound of an organ. And was this old man playing this organ? It was so nice to see this old man serving. It was great. After the song finished, he got up, stood in front of the microphone, and gave a couple announcements to the church. So I thought, wow, this guy's pretty involved in other ministries at church. He's very active for an old man. Then he starts standing up and starts reading the Bible passage. And if you haven't figured it out, he starts preaching the sermon. Makes me look so soft. As I found out, he was a retired pastor, but still helping the church out. So do you think the church should be like that? Should it be run by one person? Maybe today, we know that going to church and being involved in the church does matter. And being part of the church is to serve, to grow, and to encourage each other. And if you're interested in serving and not sure where you would like to help out, see your leaders. Or you can start by helping within your community group. Or you can speak to me if you want to join, do something on Sundays. As members of the church, we all serve one another so that God can be glorified. And maybe you know you being a Christian does involve others, but you might be selective in how you serve or befriend people. It's not about hanging with your people who you're comfortable with or being close with them, because you can always do that outside of church. And it's a good thing to do that outside of church. I encourage that. So at church, do we hang only with others who are the same stage of life as us? Only hang around with uni students or workers? Because if we do that, then we need to rethink what is church is. As Christians, who are we called to relate to in the church? Do we only relate to people who we are comfortable with? Instead, we should say hi to new people who visits the church, or people who doesn't go to your same community group. Just say hi to them, or get to know the people you haven't said hi for ages. We can do that. Secondly, are we making new walls at church? Are these walls inside us? The walls I'm talking about is our attitude and our character. I'm talking about the walls of pride, walls of jealousy, walls of envy, walls of unforgiving spirit, and so on. Are we letting these bricks build a new wall which separate us from God's family? We need to see these things are very offensive to Jesus. Because he has already broken walls down, and now we are building new ones within the church. We need to stop this. Stop building personal walls in God's church. And let's take active step to heal, to reconcile and to forgive each other as members of God's church. Let me finish a story. As a very young Christian, I think I was like Eric or Brian's age. That's very young. I'm half the age, I found out. I had a person at church told me this. He can't invite his friends to church because, I don't know how to put this, it's not a language barrier, but because the church is too yellow, too Asian, okay? I'm not going to say it out. It's too Asian. So he never invited them. I didn't know how to answer that. But today, I will answer him and challenge him with this passage in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11 and 22. We have just read that Jesus has broken the barriers, broken the walls, broken the Gentiles and Jews, broken the poor and the rich classes. So you're telling me the gospel is not powerful enough to break the skin barrier. There's too many yellow people, too many Asians for people to hear the gospel. So you're telling me the words of the truth can't change people's heart. You're telling me the gospel has no effect. So you're telling me there's no new humanity through Christ. Because that brother just credit his own wall. Created his own barrier. Basically, he thinks that the gospel is not powerful enough for his friends, because this is a yellow church, an Asian church. Don't be that brother. He's a fool. Now I'm going to say that because it was me. Very naive. But praise God, I'm still here.
as we heard today, we are all new humanity in Christ, and we are all united. The church is for everyone who is a Christian under the headship of Christ. So the church is not centered around us, but it's a gathering of all believers. And we need to remember this verse 21. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. Let's pray. Father, as you know, your Son is the cornerstone of the church and comes to unite all people from all areas in life, stages of life. So let's be a church community that has no walls and barriers as we worship you together. Amen.